Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Today's retirement landscape is increasingly complex due to longer life expectancies, shifting economic conditions, and the decline of traditional pension plans. Retirees face the challenge of ensuring their savings last through potentially decades of retirement, compounded by uncertainties such as market volatility and rising healthcare costs. In his book, Another Day in Paradise, The Handbook of Retirement Income, author Jeff Dellinger helps individuals navigate these challenges and discusses various approaches to generate retirement income that readers can apply to their personal situations. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best TV, and joining us now to discuss that is Jeff Dellinger, president of Longevity Risk Management Corporation and a fellow of the Society of Actuaries. Jeff, welcome. It's great to see you. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for asking me, Lori.
So, Jeff, can you tell us about your book and how the idea for it came about?
Well, brilliant friends and colleagues, an orthopedic surgeon, a banker, a Fortune 500 chief financial officer, business owners, just one at a time would call me up and they'd say, Jeff, if I took you out to dinner, would you tell me what I'm supposed to do with my retirement savings? I'm turning 65. I'm about to retire. I've got whatever nest egg that I'll ever have. And now what? And so everybody's told me the rules for asset accumulation, but nobody's explained, the best methods of retirement income to me. I had enough of those that I thought, it's hard to communicate everything over one dinner. So I'll draw up a little booklet or pamphlet for them. And then I just kept writing because there was kind of so much to say in this area. These are each, brilliant people, but, they realize that this isn't their area of expertise. Which is no surprise whatsoever, because retirement income covers the fields of longevity and demography and actuarial science and investments and taxation and statistics and law and economics and biology and even some psychology. And so it's no surprise that even brilliant people, and these are all well-educated multimillionaires, but they just don't have the particular set of the knowledge base necessary to handle this as well as they could. And that's, no fault of their own or no surprise. That's a pretty unique set of skills to have all at once. And so kind of the book is intended to make order out of chaos. A lot of people think, I know that, there's investments involved and there's taxes involved and how long you lived is involved, but I don't know how all the pieces fit together. So they have this queasy, uneasy feeling they're not doing this as well as they could. And so the book offers the gift of synthesis. It takes, information from all these disciplines and distills it down to, the portions of it people really know to manage their retirement income well. So that's kind of how the book came about. And then what the book is all about, it's written for individuals on the cusp of retirement. It doesn't talk about retirement savings or saving up for retirement at all. It really is for the folks who are at or about to be retired. They're saying, now what? So it starts out with what I call the retirement income challenge. Exactly what is it we're trying to achieve here? So that I'll know what the objectives are, and I'll have some sort of metric to know the good things from the bad things. The book has over 200 figures in it to illustrate for readers, how all these important retirement income concepts work. So they'll understand why they're making those decisions so that they're comfortable with them. And the book is readable by anybody. You don't have to have knowledge of sophisticated mathematics or any strong technical acumen. The body of the book, anybody can read. But then in the appendices, either have more detail about certain topics or that's where you're going to find the mathematical proofs that everything that's said in the book is true. So if you're that kind of person that's inclined to, you know, go through that level of detail, it's there for you, but it's stuck in the appendices, not in the body of the book. So the book is totally objective. It's just based on quantifiable evidence. It's not really my opinion or anybody else's opinion. It's really about the fundamentals, and what the book says will be equally true 100 years from now. It doesn't talk about current fads. These are just really the basic fundamentals of retirement income. And, you know, with 10,000 Americans turning 65 every day and, you know, responsibilities of retirement income that used to be taken care of by employers are now being pushed on to individuals. So it seemed like a really timely subject to create the book. And there is kind of one historical parallel, and that is in the 1920s, they call them the Roaring Twenties because the stock market was just booming, and you know, it was a wild, fun time, and everybody was rich. And then in the 1930s, there was the bust and the Great Depression, and everybody's poor. And two gentlemen, Benjamin Graham and David Dodd, looked at this and they wrote a book. You know, they said, you know, the stock market is sometimes just grossly overvalued and sometimes grossly undervalued. And their book is called Security Analysis, and it gets at what a stock should be worth because based on the operating business that lies behind the stock. And so it's kind of the book on value investing that Warren Buffett, you know, uses and praises to this day. And that was just what was needed at that time in history because prices went from way too high to way too low. And so there needed to be, you know, some sort of methodology to this. And here we are 100 years later. And I think it's kind of the same thing where there's a, you know, kind of a scholarly methodical way to look at retirement income. And it doesn't have to be mere guesswork. And so a book like my new one, The Handbook of Retirement Income, hopefully will be that guidepost that, you know, allows people to, you know, understand the, you know, the fundamentals and the basics of and the principles of retirement income. And, you know, that's really, you know, what drew me to create the book. And so that's what the book's all about and how it came about.
Wonderful. Very interesting. Well, Jeff, how is today's retirement landscape shifting? And what retirement income challenges do retirees now face?
Well, the big one is that folks used to be covered by a defined benefit pension plan. When you retired from your employer, you got a monthly check for the rest of your life, and you really didn't have any decisions to make. And they took care of the investing, and they sent the checks. And, you know, when you were retired, you really didn't have any more responsibility. Your employer took care of it. And now defined benefit plans have long been on the wane, and most the majority of people participate in defined contribution plans where you're going to have an account balance at retirement, and now it's your responsibility to use that well to get you financially through the whole of life, however long that might be. And so kind of folks are starting to think, well, now I've got to cover longevity risk. I got to cover inflation risk. I got to cover, you know, investment risk. These are all my responsibilities now. I'm not really well versed in these things. And so, I mean, these are enormously important decisions. They're going to affect people's financial security and the standard of living for the rest of their lives. So, you know, to some extent, whether you have, you know, satisfaction in life as a retiree is going to hinge on the decisions you make about how you manage your retirement income. So, and if you come up short in later years, you know, it's incredibly painful. You know, you may lose, you know, you may lose your, you know, properties. You've lost your wealth. You might become dependent on your children if you prematurely exhaust your lifetime savings. And even if you don't, you're like beset with anxiety the entire period leading up to that, knowing that, you know, these atrocities might befall you. And so what's particularly saddening is that some people did really well during their working years, and they did save enough for retirement, and they did have accumulate a financial nest egg big enough to get them through the whole of retirement, but they deployed it in such a way that that didn't happen. And so, you know, it's pretty sad that for lack of knowledge, all those years of working and saving didn't get them to, you know, to the end zone. And you know, some people are going to have enough savings, but they'll squander the opportunity for lack of knowledge. And there's one underappreciated factor, and that is the current generation of elderly. They participated in defined benefit plans. They had Social Security benefits that, relative to their working incomes, are higher than is likely for future generations. They didn't live as long, and so they were essentially insulated from longevity risk, and so it's kind of been a hidden risk. You know, folks haven't seen their parents and grandparents, you know, financially failing in droves, and so they think that somehow magically it's all going to work out well for them too. And when you do the hard analysis, for a lot of them, that's not the case at all. But because they didn't see their predecessors, you know, have difficulties, they think that somehow magically they're going to be all right too. But so there's complacency arises. And the other thing you have to think about is mortality improvement. You know, we're going to spend more years in retirement than our parents did or our grandparents did. And so we're going to require income for a longer period. And I mean, retirement can now last as long as a career itself.
In the book, you discuss various retirement income generation approaches. Can you tell us a little bit more about those methods?
There's a variety of retirement income methods, and some just like mitigate retirement risks, and others totally conquer it. They reduce the probability of outliving your money to zero. And so there's, you know, the book starts out with the simplest ones, the withdrawals. And there, you know, you have withdrawals for a fixed period of time, which really doesn't do you a lot of good. Or you can have lifetime withdrawals, but then the withdrawals may have been intended to last a lifetime, but depending on how long you live and investment performance and inflation, it might not really last a lifetime. And so then we move on to the next level of sophistication for retirement generation methods, which would be fixed immediate annuities. And those have been around a long time. And you get a monthly check in the mailbox every month for as long as you live. And the day that you sign up for it, you know to the penny exactly the dollar amount on every future check. And then we move on to variable immediate annuities. And those are just like the fixed immediate annuities, except now you, the retiree or the annuitant, get to control the investments. You decide, you know, how much to allocate to stocks and bonds and other asset classes. But in exchange for that opportunity for better investment performance, the trade-off is that the dollar amount of the retirement income checks each month in your mailbox will fluctuate based on the performance of the investments you choose. But over the long run, because you can invest some of your money in common stock funds, with their higher returns, you're bound to have more retirement income over the long run. And then there's one type of withdrawal method that is fully guaranteed by an insurance company. There's uninsured withdrawal plans and there's insured withdrawal plans. And the best known insured withdrawal plan is something called a guaranteed lifetime withdrawal benefit. And what that does is it lets you withdraw money from your own account value, and you still get to see that account value all the time. And if the account value ever goes to zero, you aren't done, because at that point, the insurance company is going to send you a check in your mailbox every month for the rest of your life. And people are, you know, more than happy to sign up for that. It's like, well, I get to spend all my own money without any risk of forfeiture. And if I use it all, you send me more. It's like, you know, where do I sign? And so I invented that in 1998 because people just hadn't been willing to sign up for lifetime annuities because there were some psychological obstacles to doing that. And, you know, I will sheepishly admit that it took me 20 years of listening to those objections before I finally came up with a solution. And but the solution is really so I patented it in 1998, and the patent office awarded the patent. And today there are hundreds of billions of dollars invested in guaranteed lifetime withdrawal benefits. And it really changed the annuity industry. It was called the biggest annuity innovation in the annuity industry for the last 25 years. And it really changed the basis of competition. And it spawned whole new industries. Managed volatility funds kind of came about as a result of this guaranteed lifetime withdrawal benefit. And, you know, variable annuity hedging came about as a result of it. So it's been a pretty big deal. And, you know, the patent is very well known. So it was, you know, something that just kind of came to me as I was, you know, bored. And I was sitting in a New York City hotel in a meeting, and I was bored. And, you know, product development actuaries kind of have to be very future oriented anyway, because we have to think, well, somebody's going to buy these products, what, and they might hold them for 10 or 20 or 30 years. What could go wrong? And you think, well, corporate taxes could be raised. You're going to have some stock market downturns. People might live a lot longer than we expect today. And so, you know, whatever you devise has to be able to withstand all these things. And so, you know, I kept thinking about it, and that GLWB, as it's now known, you know, gets people over all the psychological hurdles and causes them to be willing to sign up for a lifetime income, whereas otherwise they were, you know, pretty reluctant to do that. So it's, you know, it's led to a lot of interesting, you know, discussions on patent law and a lot of other things. But, you know, it's been a real game changer for the industry.
Absolutely.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Jeff, what benefits do higher income approaches provide, and how can individuals generate significantly higher monthly incomes?
Well, one of the things is that the important thing to recognize is that people usually look at retirement income generation to cover two different sets of expenses. One is your mandatory expenses, your groceries, your utility bills, your, you know, homeowners insurance, things that you have to pay no matter what, and you always will. And other retirement income is geared to cover discretionary expenses, you know, international travel and gifts to grandchildren and things like that. And so the first tier, the retirement income methods that cover mandatory expenses, are usually fully guaranteed things like you know, company defined benefit pension plan, Social Security, fixed immediate annuity, and so they have, you know, lower returns and lower amounts of income because they are fully guaranteed and they're incredibly safe. But then for the other tier, the discretionary expenses, now you can, you know, invest more in equities for their higher returns. And that's a, you know, a huge advantage over a multi-decade period, because the, you know, the growth there will, you know, trounce growth of fixed income over, you know, multiple decades. And so you have higher amounts. The nice thing is you have higher amounts of income. And also, if you're more well-to-do, You can tolerate the month-to-month income volatility. It's not going to affect your standard of living or your daily life. And one of the things that really kind of is rarely discussed, but is a great opportunity for people who are more well-to-do, is that wealth and longevity are highly, highly correlated. And the well-to-do live not, substantially longer than the average person. I mean, they live, generally, definitely longer than the insured, the general population, longer than the insured population, and even longer than the population of kind of ordinary annuitants, who are still willing to buy lifetime income because they think they're in fairly decent health. And so, you really should only buy, you only should look at lifetime annuities through the lens of insurance. This is something that's going to insure me against outliving my wealth and going to get me through the entirety of life, even if I live to age 120. And here, the insurance companies don't underwrite immediate annuities. Everybody gets the same deal. If you pay this much premium, you get this much monthly benefit. And so because of that, if you're in a class that is likely to be long lived, you're female, you're healthy, you're well to do, and you're going to get a longer stream of retirement income benefits than the average person. And so that's the one and only case where you can actually look at immediate annuities as an investment. It should never be looked at as an investment. Otherwise, it should be looked at as an insurance. But for this one case, if you have a little more wealth, the longer stream of retirement income that you can get from this same initial premium really provides you a tremendous rate of return if you want to look at it as an investment. But again, that's only for the well-to-do, and the rest of the world should look at this at annuities, lifetime annuities, as an insurance. When you first hear about when somebody first hears about immediate annuities and lifetime income, they have a couple knee-jerk reactions. What if I die? Right away, so they're. So the lens that they look at retirement income with, isn't correct at the start until they get some training. They're still in the investment mindset. And so they think, well, if I die before I get all my money paid back to me, I lose. And if I would have spent down all that money and then I still get checks beyond that, I win. And it's like, that is not the right mindset at all. That's looking at it through an investment lens, which is totally wrong. It's an insurance product for virtually everybody, with that one narrow exemption for the well-to-do.
And what role do insurers, advisors, and others play in educating clients and helping them make these decisions?
Well, that's a tough one, because clearly, folks do need education. This is not simple, but the advisors themselves, need the education as well before they can pass that knowledge along to consumers, their clients, insurance companies don't get paid for educating consumers. And employers don't get paid for educating consumers. And so, if you're a financial advisor and that's how you make your living, and you can sell a client a retirement income product in their existing state of mind and knowledge base when they walk into your office, you're going to sell them what they will accept right then. They're really kind of in a very financially naive state when it comes to retirement income. And so what they'll buy right then is quite different from what they would buy if they had a bigger knowledge base and took some time to learn about these things. And so the advisor is thinking, well, I can either, you know, sell this client, you know, this policy today, and I will make a certain commission, or I can counsel him over the next couple of weeks and he'll, you know, sell him this other product that's really better suited for him, although he would push back against it today, and I'll still make the same commission. So, you know, I'm trying to make a living here. I better do whatever's fastest. And so that's one of the trouble spots. There's, you know, a tension, natural tension there between, you know, an advisor doing well for his client and an advisor doing well for himself. You know, that's actually one of the reasons for the so-called annuity puzzle, where people don't buy lifetime income products to the same degree that, you know, an economist would think you should. And, you know, a financial advisor will say, you know, well, now I can sell this client a lifetime income policy and I'll get a one-time upfront sales commission of 3% or 4%, and that's it. And then the assets are beyond my control and I'll never earn any more money on this. Or I can fail to do that and just have them take withdrawals from the, like the mutual funds that, that the client has with me. And I'll continue to earn my fee, whatever it is, 1% a year for as long as this guy lives. And I'll have a lifetime of income here. You know, why would I shortchange myself and take a one-time income of 3 or 4%? But, you know, in one case, the client gets guaranteed lifetime income, and in the other case, he doesn't. So, you know, that's one of the compensation is certainly one of the hurdles to get over, to get people to use lifetime income more. So a lot of difficulties, and, you know, the employers worry about, you know, liability exposure. If I educate a client and they do something and it doesn't turn out well, and, you know, they sue me and say, well, you were a fiduciary, you were training me, and I took your advice and, you know, it blew up. And so, they're thinking, well, you know, why would we do that? We're not being compensated for, you know, providing financial advice to our employees. You know, we certainly don't want to take that risk. And so, you know, your question about, you know, how do we get the consumers more knowledgeable? You know, that's a long, slow, tough one. I can remember back, like, you know, decades ago, we were talking about, gee, you know, it's no surprise that when you show everybody their 401k account balance every quarter in their quarterly statement, they think of retirement savings as a lump sum dollar amount, because that's all we ever show them. They never think about, gee, I wonder what this will translate into in terms of monthly retirement income. And so, you know, decades ago, we talked about, what if you showed them a projection of the monthly retirement income this could produce, you know, when they get to be retired? And so, you know, it took decades and decades and decades for that to happen. It did happen recently, but that just kind of shows you the glacial pace at which, you know, consumer education happens.
And Jeff, looking ahead, what new opportunities, developments, or challenges might we see over the next 1 to 3 years when it comes to retirement income and retirement income generation?
Well, I think the in the last chapter of my book, I have a section called Waiting on Perfection. And, you know, there's sometimes a feeling by consumers or advisors, you know, I'm not going to do anything right now because, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, something better is going to come along. And so I'll delay any current action. And, you know, maybe something that offers, you know, just a product that offers the best of all worlds, you know, maximum lifetime income, and it's fully liquid, and I can control the investments, and, you know, it'll be very low cost and has, you know, all these perfect characteristics. Well, you know, the notion of that is a total illusion, because certain things are incompatible. For example, one of the ways you get the highest income is by buying a product that has survivorship credits, where you're in a pool of annuitants with people. And once one of the annuitants dies and no longer requires income, the money that's the insurance company's holding for that person is released and kind of sprinkled equally amongst all the surviving annuitants who still need a retirement income. So they have three factors working for their retirement income: their initial principal, the appreciation on it, and the survivorship credits, which are really powerful. And that's why life insurers have an edge here. But, you know, that's this kind of powerful thing isn't compatible with liquidity, because otherwise, if you own one of these and you find out you're terminally ill, you're going to cash it in for whatever value you can get, and there won't be anything left to be reallocated to the longer surviving annuitants. So survivorship credits and liquidity, you know, are totally incompatible, and you're never going to find both of those together. And so if that's what you're waiting on, you're going to have a really long wait. And, you know, there's a lot of other things like that that are incompatible. You know, in mathematics, there are systems of equations to which there is no solution. Maybe you have three equations, but there's no answer that satisfies all three of them. They're just, you know, incompatible, and they just can't exist together. And so there's really no point in waiting for that to happen. You're never going to figure it out. And kind of the same thing, you know, holds true here. And but one of the things I think will probably happen is that there will be an increased use of underwriting. Right now, there's no underwriting for annuities in the payout phase. Everybody gets the same deal. And so what happens is people who don't think they're going to live very long just don't buy one. And people who are in average health or above average health say, well, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to live, but longevity risk might be a problem for me, so I'm going to insure against it. But if there were more underwriting, then the alignment of the premiums that get paid with the benefits that are expected to be received, those line up a lot better. And so people who aren't in quite as good health and probably aren't going to live quite as long, you know, get a better deal for the same premium. They get a little more money every month. And so that's happened for a long time in the United Kingdom, because you had to take your pension money as a lifetime annuity. And so they gave people in ill health a better deal. But over here, where it's totally voluntary, it's just people who are in ill health just, you know, don't participate in the market. And a median annuity underwriting can be done and has been done in other countries. There just hasn't been enough of that type of business in America for insurance companies to spend the time and the money, dealing with, underwriting longevity risk. And it is longevity risk, because if you're in ill health, but you're still expected to live a long time, kind of that doesn't count. You still get a monthly check, whether you're, how do they say that? Whether you're the agile or the fragile, as long as you're alive, you get that check. And so your health impairment has to be a life shortening one. It can't just be a, quality of life one. You know, I hope people in the future will come to understand more that the retirement income, it's not a test drive or a trial run. You have to get it right the first time. There's no do-overs. And so, people need to, that needs to be impressed upon people. And so, but it's okay that people say, well, I think that, I'm going to wait 2 or 3 years and something better will come along. But because there's still the chance, there's still the opportunity to correct them and say, we don't need to wait for excellent solutions to be invented. They already exist. And, they're all covered in the book. And for example, it takes to generate an identical amount of lifetime income, if you do it in an inefficient manner, you need to have $1.5 million to start with. If you do it in the most efficient manner, you only need to have $1 million to start with. And so there's a vast difference in efficiency between retirement income generation methods. In one case, you had to save 50% more money just to get the same amount, dollar amount every month in retirement, because you didn't know enough to use the, you know, the more efficient method. And seemingly unbelievably, until you understand why, the higher the retirement income generation methods that pay you the higher dollar amounts are also the safest. That is, they protect against you outliving your wealth to a greater degree than anything else. So it's like, that just can't be. That's too good to be true. But you know, when you understand why it is, you say, well, I get it now. You know, I get the highest amount of money I can get, and I get the you know, the safest I can get. You know, why aren't more people doing this? And I think they will be in the future. It's called an immediate variable annuity. And I did design one of those called i4Life that gets sold, and actually $37.5 billion of it had been sold last I heard. And so people are willing to buy it if they, you know, are told about it, and if there's, you know, advisors who can counsel them on it. And so it's not an unsaleable item. And so, you know, there are people don't need to wait for better inventions. There are great, you know, solutions to retirement income. You know, they just need to, you know, spend some time to learn about them. And advisors need to spend some time to be able to counsel people on that. The only other thing I can think of, Lori, is, and this is the total wild card, is artificial intelligence. I mean, is artificial intelligence, I mean, you know, that could really lower the cost of every kind of, you know, financial product. And it might be able to do a better job of counseling, you know, people at the point of retirement about all their different retirement income generation methods that they could use, and do so without any human bias, you know, without, you know, how much commission is in this for me, you know, being involved. And then the consumers have their own, you know, behavioral biases, and, you know, those might be overcome by a machine that doesn't have those. So, you know, that's the wild card in all this when you ask, you know, what might be coming down the road. So that'll be very interesting to see how that plays out. And I think that'll also be helpful with regard to underwriting lifetime annuities, so that people get a price more aligned with their expected income stream.
Very interesting. Well, Jeff, this has been so informative, so interesting, and thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me, Lori.
That was Jeff Dellinger, president of Longevity Risk Management Corporation, a fellow of the Society of Actuaries, and author of the book, Another Day in Paradise, The Handbook of Retirement Income. For AM Best TV, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.